Hi, everybody. This is Ernie Martz again, along with Tom Ambrose, Lauren Thompson, and publicity director from the United States Automobile Club, Donald Davidson, from Donnybrook International Speedway, 6 miles north of Brainerd, Minnesota, for exciting action, championship car style. The same cars that race in Indianapolis with the same drivers, and we're waiting for the start of the second 100-mile heat, 34 laps around this 3-mile course, which actually is about 102 miles, but they have to get that last lap in, right?
Yes, since the track is exactly 3 miles, 33 laps, of course, would be 99 miles, so they have to run an additional lap, which takes them up to 102.
Mara Andretti really shocked the folks here Friday early with qualifications and set a blistering pace to set a new track qualifying record, only to have it broken earlier today by Al Unser.
Mario Andretti just pulled into the pits after really smashing the track record here of, I think the best time I heard was 133.4, and that's the case. That's well above 114 miles an hour, which was the record. How's it going for you, Mario?
Quite well. I'm especially happy because the car is new, and this is the first race for this particular machine, and Clint Browner and Jim McGee and the rest of the fellows did a just fantastic job preparing it. I don't know whether that's going to hold for fast time, but I think we have a little more in there yet.
Is there also some fast time to be picked up on the track anywhere, do you think?
Well, there's no question about it. I think there are a couple of places where I think if I settle down properly, I should be able to look even smoother and perhaps go quicker. So this will come with running.
Mario Andretti, welcome to Donnybrook, and it's great to see you. You're going through turn one out here. You're not letting up out here on this sweeping right-hander, are you at all?
Very little.
Psychological let-up. How does it feel when you get into that turn? Is it fairly comfortable at high speed?
It's not too bad. The car is feeling very stable so far, and that's no place to feel unstable because I suspect we're going through that first turn at least 170 miles an hour.
Terrific. Mario Andretti, good luck, and... that you can win Sunday.
Nothing I like to do better.
The Hansons are having a housewarming party. They've just moved into their first home, and are they proud? And they have a right to be. They're the owners of a home that won't need repainting every 3 or 4 years. Putting up storm windows won't take any more than half an hour of Mr. Hanson's time. The same for taking them down. With 3 bedrooms in their new home, the Hansons need never worry about being cramped for living space. What the Hansons like most about their new home is that the payments are less than the rent they were paying on their apartment. And they will completely own their home in just 7 short years. If Mr. Hanson is transferred in his job, or if the Hansons decide to move, the family can take their home with them. That's because the Hanson family is now living in a Northland mobile home. Life is for the living. Why not enjoy it? There's a Northland home dealer near you.
Back track side at Donnybrook, this is Ernie Martz with all the action, waiting for the start of the second event here this afternoon for the Indianapolis Championship Cars. We'd like to point out that today is Duluth Day at the track, as Donnybrook publicly acknowledges the fine Major League support of the great Arrowhead region of our fine state of Minnesota. So welcome to all the fans from Duluth and Superior, and of course to those great racing fans on the Iron Range. Welcome to Donnybrook. We hope that you'll enjoy yourself here today, and I know you will. Don Davidson, I've been trying to stump you, you know, for almost all week on all these questions. You have memorized the answers to finishers at the Indianapolis 500, and I'm going to ask you another one right now. Are you ready? I know. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't have any records in front of him. This is all off the top of his head. And let's see. All right, who finished first in 1948?
Oh, first in 48, that was Maury Rose. That was the third of 3 victories that he scored. And one of the drivers that competed in that event, Emil Andres, is driving the pace car today.
Right. And what about Emil? He had quite a racing career.
Yes, Emil Andres was active from the early 30s until retiring in 1950, and he drove at Indianapolis. He was at the track each year from 1935 until 1950. He didn't qualify every year that he was there. His best finish was in 1946 when he finished fourth, and he was also the third-ranking championship driver in 1946. The national champion that year was Ted Horn. George Robson was second, and Emil Andres finished third in 1946. So he's a veteran championship driver, and it is Emil Andres who's driving the pace car today.
Now, I think by way of background, we should explain that Donald is originally from England and that you, as a very, well, rather young man, made this attempt to memorize all of the finishers of the Indianapolis 500, right? And that's how you got started on this.
Yes, I started, it was about 1956, and I was a schoolboy in England, and I became interested in Grand Prix racing, and then I became interested in the Indianapolis 500, and I saved up the money to make a trip to Indianapolis in 1964, at which time I had memorized the complete results for every 500, so at that time I was able to answer any question about a driver's finishing position.
And then you came at your own expense to this country and visited with Indianapolis people, Sid Collins in particular. And you've been in with Sid Collins on the Indy 500 broadcast for the past few years.
Yes, when I came, after my vacation, I came back again in 1965, and at that time I became one of the members of the Indianapolis Speedway Network, and then I also went to work for USAC. That was in 1965.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and I'll want some more background information, hopefully, on some of our drivers, and as only you can give it to us. Why shop around for a replacement part for that imported car when there's one place where you're sure to find exactly what you want? Imported Auto Parts Corporation in Minneapolis and St. Paul, where they have 18,000 replacement parts for imported cars of all types. Now, the replacement part you need for your imported car is certain to be among those 18,000 parts, and there's more now, too. Imported Auto Parts Corporation now has replacement parts for all types of domestic snowmobiles, plus snowmobile suits and boats. So why shop around, fans? Go to the place where that imported car replacement part is certain to be waiting for you. And that's at the Blocklong store at 1300 West Lake Street in Minneapolis. At that store at 1591 University Avenue in St. Paul. And when you go there, tell them you heard the Donnybrook broadcast. We'd appreciate it. And they'll have a gift for you. That's right. And you can use your Bank AmeriCard or Shopper Charge cards. That's Imported Auto Parts Corporation with 18,000 imported car replacement parts. And replacement parts for all snowmobiles. And that's not too far away. They have a gift for you. Remember, the gift offer expires September 20th. Now, Don Davidson, let's look at some of the drivers who are here today, and what a lineup. The world's best.
Well, thank you, Ernie. We've already outlined Bobby Unser and Dan Gurney and Mario Andretti and A.J. Foyt. We also have Al Unser, who is the third-ranking USAC Championship driver for 1969, or 68, rather. He finished second behind A.J. Foyt in the Indianapolis 500 of 1967. He won the Pikes Peak Hill Climb in 1964 and 1965, and I should have outlined the fact that brother Bobby won the Pikes Peak Hill Climb 9 times.
Wow.
We also have Roger McCluskey, who was the he's currently leading the 1968 Stock Car point standings. He was second behind A.J. Foyt in 1968, which was the first year that he ran in stock cars. He was the USAC Sprint Car Champion in 1963 and in 1966, and he's driven in the Indianapolis 500 every year since 1961, with the exception of 64 when he was on the sidelines because of a broken arm. Roger has never finished the 500, but he did lead it two different years, 1962 and 1963. Another former sprint car champion, Johnny Rutherford from Fort Worth, Texas, is driving car number 36 today. John, the 1965 sprint car champion, is another Indianapolis veteran. He has been in the race each year since 1963, with the exception of 1966, when he too, like McCluskey, was sidelined early in the season because of injuries.
Very good, Don Davidson. And now I'd like to visit with the official hostess for today's activities. If you're a pretty good-looking guy, Don, but this gal is a lot nicer. Why don't you sit in here, please? Miss Jamie Van Nispen, Miss Duluth, Minnesota. Welcome to Donnybrook, and what do you think of the race so far, Jamie?
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to be up here, and I'm sure that the people of Duluth are honored to be considered a special part of your program today. And the weather is great, and the people are great, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you, and where do you work, or are you a student, and perhaps what your parents do, or your father?
Well, I'm 18 years old, and I'm new as Miss Duluth. I was just crowned in July, and I'll be attending UMD in the fall.
Okay, and you're traveling around. Do you have any aspirations? Would you like to go on to, say, the Miss Minnesota or Miss America pageant?
Oh,
Some people do, you know. I understand that's, you know, that's the way you kind of have to plan it, don't you, really?
Right. No, I'm sure any girl, this would be really something any girl wishes for, and I do have the opportunity to compete as Miss Minnesota next June.
Well, you're very attractive, and I'm sure that you'll have an excellent opportunity of winning. Thank you for coming. You're a great representative of the fine people in the Duluth and Arrowhead region.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Van Nispen, our official host, is here at Donnybrook today. I'll have more racing action and activity after this message.
Well, fans, the action is fast and the competition is keen out here at Donnybrook this afternoon, and that's why quick reflexes and perfect control are vital factors. There's no time to spare. Well, speed is often important when you need a tow truck fast, right? Where do you find a tow truck in the middle of the night? In the yellow pages of your telephone directory. Even if you know the name, you'll find it faster in the yellow pages than in the alphabetical listing in the white pages. So when speed is essential, you can count on the yellow pages for help. And when things seem to get out of control at home and you need a plumber fast, well, here again, you'll find them fast in the yellow pages. So wherever you are, at home or away, your yellow pages can help you in many, many ways. So next time you need something fast, give the yellow pages a try. Everything you need from A to Z is right there in the yellow pages, so use them often. Get your family in the habit of using the yellow pages, too. They're handy and they're fast. And speaking of fast, here we go again.
Excited Donnybrook. This is Ernie Martz, and Gordon Johncock was the winner of our first 100-mile heat here this afternoon. We're waiting for the start of the second 100-mile heat, which will get underway on the world's or America's fastest three-mile road racing course, Donnybrook, Brainerd, Minnesota. Gordon Johncock was the winner. And let's look down the list here, Don Davidson. It looks like Dan Gurney second, Al Unser, and Mario.
That's right, Ernie. The unofficial finishing order that we gave just a few minutes ago was correct, with one exception, that George Fulmer was given sixth place ahead of Mark Donahue. Apparently, Mark Donahue was penalized one lap for passing during the yellow flag. But running down the entire finishing order, there were 15 starters only, and it ran like this. Gordon Johncock finished first. Dan Gurney was second. Al Unser was third. Mario Andretti was fourth. Newcomer Sweet Savage was fifth. Now, all of those drivers were in the same lap. They completed 34 laps. Sixth place was George Fulmer with car number 62. He completed 33 laps. Seventh place was given to Mark Donahue. He actually completed 34, but as I just said, he was penalized one lap and therefore finished seventh behind Fulmer. Eighth place was awarded to A.J. Foyt and ninth to Mike Mosley, those two drivers also completing 33 laps. In 10th place was the English Grand Prix driver, David Hobbs, who completed 32 laps. 11th was Johnny Rutherford, who dropped out of the race, completing 20 laps. And the other finishers are all dropping out of the race. In 12th place, Bill Simpson with 12 laps. In 13th place, Bobby Unser with 11 laps. In 14th place, Hamilton Voss III with 8 laps. And in 15th place, Roger McCluskey, who completed 7 laps.
So Gordon Johncock, the winner here of our first 100-mile heat. And Dan Gurney second, Al Unser third, and Mario Andretti fourth, followed by Swede Savage and George Fulmer. The winner of our August 10th Continental Series Grand Prix for Formula A racing machines was David Hobbs. And David Hobbs set an absolute track record at that time, which has since been broken. His record was 112.85 miles per hour. We talked with David Hobbs a little earlier today, and he's having some problems with the car he has here. He told me that he's having problems with the brakes and also with handling, and I think this is because he has a liquid suspension set up on that car. Here's David Hobbs.
I'm visiting with Mark Donahue in the pit area right now before the practice and qualifying session on Sunday morning. Mark, did you get much sleep last night? When did you get in?
I got in late last night, and the car got in earlier in the day, and we fellas worked on it all night. We're going to try to practice, qualify, and race all Monday.
This is car number 66. This is a Lotus, is that right?
It's a Lola with a Chevrolet engine.
Right. Boy, I'm getting practically asphyxiated here with this weather. Is that methanol fuel from this other engine that's burning my eyes?
That's methanol and nitro together, which make a pretty healthy smell.
Might get a little higher. What happens to you when you breathe this stuff?
Your eyes water a lot, and but it doesn't bother you after a while. You get kind of used to it.
Do you get any of this out of the track if you're drafting somebody or very close? Do you get any of the cockpit?
Yes, you get some, but mostly at the start and on the base lap is when it's the worst.
Mark, you've been on the track before. How do you feel about picking up some good times and speeds out here? You know the track pretty well. Do you think the additional speed or time will be in the equipment or out the track here?
Well, I don't know. We were here with a Camaro just a couple of months ago, and we know what a Camaro will do here, but we're kind of in the dark as to what a championship car will do, and we're here to find out.
Mark Downey, you good luck this afternoon.
Thank you.
Interview with David Hobbs just a little later. That was Mark Donahue, who finished seventh in the first heat. And believe me, that methanol mixture down there in the pit area is really, it's really lethal almost, I think. I think it must bother these fellas, particularly on the starting lap, maybe. Of course, they're used to it, I guess.
Yes, they get used to it. It's they have a solution known as POP. I believe it's nitromethane, and it's known as POP. And when the engine fires up, if you're standing very close, you get this in your eyes, and it does bother your eyes, causes your eyes to water. This the fumes float through the air, and standing some distance away, you get a whiff of this stuff, and it makes you makes your eyes water and even sneeze.
Now, the championship cars are a little heavier than the formula cars. What do they weigh? Is it about 1,500 or
well,
more?
So the minimum weight is 1,350 pounds.
That's right.
Some of them weigh just slightly more than that. They try to get as close to 1,350 as they can because, naturally, the lighter the car, the less weight there is, the less drag, the less resistance that there is with a lighter car.
Now, they have external starting equipment, and how much fuel do they carry aboard? Is it about 70 gallons?
The current cars, I'm not too sure. It used to be 75 gallons. I think it's probably still that. The fuel consumption is very, very high, but as you notice, they're able to get through a 100-mile race without making a pit stop.
We'd like to point out again, ladies and gentlemen, that you're listening to the Donnybrook Racing Network, and I'm Ernie Martz, trackside at Donnybrook, 6 miles north of Brainerd, Minnesota, as we prepare to bring you the final 100-mile event here at Donnybrook for the United States Automobile Club Championship Cars and Indy Drivers. Now, we see quite a lot of activity in the pit area, which is to our left. We are on the north side of the track, facing south, right on the main straightaway, which runs from our right to left. They race in a clockwise fashion here. That's another thing. You get a lot of turn left racing counterclockwise in most USAC races, don't you, Don?
Yes, I think that this, I believe that there are 7 right-hand turns and 3 left-hand turns on this circuit. I'm not too sure about that.
That's right.
But naturally, most of the USAC racing, the majority of it, is on oval tracks where they turn to the left. And those road circuits that USAC does run on, normally they have more left-hand turns than right-hand turns.
Sid Collins here, the voice of the 500-mile race, to interview this year's winning car owner in the 1969 500 Classic, Andy Granatelli. Congratulations, Andy, for a hard-fought win after 23 long years.
Feels pretty good, Sid.
It appeared to us in the press area the entire multitude was standing.
I've never seen the crowd so happy about anyone.
Andy, was this year's 500 ideal as far as racing conditions were concerned?
No, Sid. We had high temperatures, and of course the motors were running exceptionally hot due to the turbo superchargers.
You feel the STP oil treatment was helpful in cooling Mario's engine?
Absolutely. One reason Mario was able to run smoother, cooler, quieter, longer, as I always say, because he did have STP oil treatment.
On May 30th at Indianapolis, Indiana, Mario Andretti, driving the STP Oil Treatment Special, crossed the finish line first with a margin of almost 3 laps over the entire field. Now, more than ever, STP is the racer's edge.
Okay, Mario Andretti finished fourth in our first heat, and Gordon Johncock was the winner of the first heat. We understand that we're ready to bring the cars out onto the track at this time. And we'll get this second heat underway in just a matter of minutes. The temperature again here is about 83 degrees. It's a beautiful day. There's hardly a cloud in the sky. We had a rather severe weather front move through the area at about 5:30 or 6 o'clock this morning. But there's a saying in northern Minnesota that if it rains before 7, it'll be clear by 11. And it did. Surprisingly enough, it started to clear about 9:45, and it was almost completely clear by 11 o'clock. We got started a little late today. Our first heat was scheduled at 1:30, and it actually, the green flag was displayed at about 10 minutes past 2. So we're visiting with Donald Davidson, the publicity director of the United States Automobile Club, and also with some, I hope, interesting interviews for our fans around the Donnybrook Radio Network in Brainerd, Fargo, Duluth Superior, Eveleth, St. Cloud, Benson, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Eau Claire, Mankato, Worthington, Rochester, and La Crosse. We talked with David Hobbs earlier, and this is what he had to say.
I'm talking now with David Hobbs, the winner of our Continental Grand Prix at Donnybrook just about a month ago. David, you've gone on to win at Saint-Jovite, and you're back here in the championship class. Are you looking for a ride at Indianapolis next year? And if so, do you think you'll get one?
Well, I'm looking for one. I think every driver that comes to race in America has got a drive at Indianapolis. It seems to be the place.
Yeah.
And, I'm looking for a drive at Indy. Whether I'll get one is different.
I see. You've had great success here. Do you plan on remaining here the balance of the racing season in the United States?
Yeah, it looks like I'll be over here one way and another till certainly the end of October, maybe even into November. I've got a drive in a Can-Am car, and also somebody wants me to do some Trans-Am races too, so one way and another I'll be fairly busy.
Yes, you will. Well, you've developed a good reputation. I know that you've been racing for a number of years in London, or in England rather. Dan Gurney mentioned that he had watched you race several years ago there.
That's right. I can remember Dan speaking to me after a race back in 1963, when, of course, he was a top Formula One driver.
Yeah.
And I was just coming up in what we call Formula Junior, which is 1,000cc engines. And I remember being struck at the time with what a friendly person he was for one of the exalted Formula One drivers, because I just had a good Formula Junior race with Denny Holm,
yeah,
who seems to have made slightly more rapid progress than I have.
Well, you deserve every bit of win and championship victory that you can get, David. It's been a long way up, I guess, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, really. It's been a bit slow, but we seem to be getting there in the end. It's amazing.
So, Darren, good luck today.
Thanks very much.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're just a matter of minutes away from the start of the second 100-mile feature event from Donnybrook this afternoon.
This year, more than ever before, performance is the name of the game, and Minor Ford in Minneapolis is playing it to win. Backed up by impressive Ford championships in NASCAR, USAC, and ARCA circuits, Minor Ford is making their showroom headquarters for performance drivers. Now, listen to this lineup. First on the list comes the famous Shelby Cobra GT500. Designed and engineered by the famed racing driver, Cale Shelby. Besides this, Minor Ford has on display and for sale an impressive display of Boss 302 Mach 1, tail lane Cobras, and just about every genuine muscle car that's built by Ford Division. The cars on Minor Ford's performance corner sit on black and white checkerboard rugs, which symbolize victory on racetracks from Watkins Glen to Riverside. Autos with performance are the going thing today, and Minor Ford is the going place with a going deal for you. That's the new Minor Ford, your performance headquarters, 18th and Central Avenue, Northeast, Minneapolis, right in the heart of Ford country.
Well, our winner on our first heat today was Gordon Johncock, followed by Dan Gurney, Al Unser, Mario Andretti, Sweet Savage, George Fulmer, Mark Donahue, A.J. Foyt, Mike Mosley, David Hobbs, Johnny Rutherford, Bill Simpson, Bobby Unser, Hamilton Voss III, and Roger McCluskey. Hamilton Voss escaped injury of any type, we understand, and we're very happy, of course, when his car rolled over three times on the south side of our 4,200-foot straightaway as he was rather close in drafting George Fulmer. It appeared that he lost control of his machine and rolled over three times into the grassy area off the track and near the fence. But he walked away from it, and we're certainly very, very happy to report that. Our racing action will get underway. We'd like to point out that it appears now that this second heat may run just a little past 5 o'clock. And we're going to carry the race to our conclusion, and we give this information along the network so you can prepare for it. We hope that you'll stay with us and with the race to its conclusion today. A very important man in any race, and certainly one of the most colorful figures, and somebody that is in the spotlight at all times, is the race starter. And we talked with Shim Malone just a little earlier today.
I'm visiting now in the pit area with Shim Malone, who is the official starter for today's event and also started yesterday's stock car event from Englewood, California. Shim, welcome to Donnybrook. How long have you been starting?
Ernie, I've been starting I'm in my 21st year right now.
What kind of car did you start with?
I started with jalopies. I started out as a driver, you know, and worked my way up, a few crashes, and then I figured it wasn't worth it, so I became an official.
Uh-huh.
Are there any, now you're in the pit area looking at the equipment. You do this just to get an idea of what the cars look like, or is there anything you can pick up here that helps you start them properly?
Yeah, I kind of look the cars over. It's a lot different when they're out on the racetrack, you know, get them 20 or 30 cars coming at you. But what I try to do is just look at the cars, the numbers, the way they're constructed, and then I pretty well know who's in what car.
Shim, have you ever, what's the most number of pace laps that you've ever seen before a race got started? In other words,
Ernie, I'll tell you, I've had races where I've let them go four, five, six laps before I started them, just to get them in line.
What's the major problem? Is it improper lining up or what? Or spacing, or?
It's just a bunch of eager beavers, is that what it is?
Now, you display the yellow out there first before you give them the green, or you just don't, you don't show any flag before?
No, I don't show any flag at all.
Right. Now, some of these fellows have a lot of flair when they give the checkered flag. Do you give it a lot of twisting motion and so forth?
Well, I tell you, I inaugurated the use of two green flags to start a race and two checkered flags to finish one.
I noticed that.
I've been doing that for, five or six or seven years now.
I see. And, well, Jim Malone, two green flags and two checkered. Well, they know they won, I guess.
Yeah, they know they won.
Thanks a lot, Jim, and have fun, and I'm sure it'll be a great race today.
Thank you, Ernie.
That was our interview that time with Shim Malone. And all eyes will be on Shim in just minutes as we get underway in this second heat, 100 miles for the Donnybrook USAC Championship.